Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Media must hold media accountable. When I see examples of media doing something wrong, printing misinformation, lying, having an outward systemic bias, it upsets me. You know, I came up as a journalist, even though I'm just a talk show host now. And we had rules and we had checks and balances and fail safes. And when I read about the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, is just staggering. It's reeling after what happened to its leadership yesterday. The organization's top two executives, Director General Tim Davie and CEO of News Deborah Ternus, resigned immediately. Their departure was triggered over systemic bias in their newsroom. Here is, I'm going to play some sound for you from a reporter about the anti-Trump bias that is one of the few things that triggered this resignation. Here it is.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell.
But Trump didn't, in fact, say this at all. The BBC spliced together two clips that took place 54 minutes apart. So let's go through it again.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you.
Now, see there, between Capitol and, that's a cut. Here's what Trump actually said.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
It's different. It wasn't until nearly an hour later that he then said the second part of the BBC's version.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we fight. We fight like hell.
I'm no fan of Trump. I think January 6th was an insurrection. I think he egged people on to violence. I think he is guilty of all of those things. But the BBC is awful for specifically splicing those two things together. They have an enormous responsibility to their viewership, and they failed them so epically in this specific incident. And by the way, there were more instances of systemic bias, yes, against the Trump administration and others, which I'll get into in a minute. But it hurts my heart when I hear and see the truth of these things. And I always love talking to Jane Kirtley. Jane, as you know, is a professor at the University of Minnesota of Ethics and Law. She's the director of the Scylla Center over at the U of M. She joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jane, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. Thanks for your time this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm always happy to talk about things British because I'm an Anglophile and I'm an avid viewer of the BBC. And one of my good friends is counsel for BBC Scotland, so I have been following this with great interest. Let me start with a stipulation, which is I agree that the edit was misleading and a failure on the part of BBC. It might be helpful for your listeners to know, in case they don't, that this was part of a documentary that aired on a show called Panorama, which is something like 60 Minutes, not exactly the same, but it's the same idea. They do more investigative kind of pieces. And it aired last October before the election, which I think is part of the reason that the Trump administration has been so bothered by this, because I believe that that Caroline Leavitt and perhaps Trump himself had said this was an attempt to influence the election by a foreign actor, which, of course, as you know, is a very loaded phrase in light of accusations about Russia interfering with elections here and so forth. So anyway, just as a bit of background on that. And you're right that there have been other accusations, which we can talk about when you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also important just to know for context that the BBC, sort of like public broadcasting in this country, has been a political football in Britain for a long time. As you know, it is supported primarily by the mandatory license fees that people have to pay if they have a television set in their home. And some in the last year or so, I think they've had about 300,000 people in Britain who refused to pay the license fee based on these allegations about bias. So this is a huge political issue for the BBC beyond the issue of journalistic integrity, because they are up for a renewal of their royal charter, which is the means by which they exist. Without the charter, there would be no BBC in 2027. So there's a lot going on here. Plus, this all came out from a memo that was prepared by a guy by the name of Michael Prescott, who used to be a journalist, now runs a public relations company. He prepared a memo for the BBC about the alleged systemic bias, and that memo was leaked to the Daily Telegraph, which is a really good newspaper, but it does lean to the right on the political spectrum. And so this is a multifaceted scandal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say as we look at this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And it's hard for regular folks like me to see through, well, this one leans this way and this one leans this way, because we don't always have that information. But you kind of touched on, well, you did touch on, the part that was so upsetting to me personally was that internal memo. There was an internal memo that raised the alarm, suggesting this deep internal systemic violence. It's my understanding. Remember, I only know what I read. I don't have an inside on the BBC. But it's my understanding that the memo flagged the Dr. Trump speech, but was ignored repeatedly. And there was a failure of an internal check and balance system that, in my opinion, sort of revealed the newsroom's internal culture. Not only the culture, of, you know, anti-Trump, but also the failure of management. And I would go even more. I mean, willful negligence to look at it and have an open mind about it and allow that edit to go forward. It was, you know, you can always have a rogue producer. You can always have somebody who is, you know, hateful to one side or another that has a true agenda, and it's a rogue producer. But there was an internal memo that said, hey, heads up on this. And it still passed muster and it still went through. I mean, doesn't that make you deeply question that there is or affirm that there is a deep and internal bias inside the BBC?
You know, I'm not going to say that this in itself proves anything in particular other than what you said, which is a failure mm-hmm. in the kind of the top-down management of the editors not taking this memo seriously. Again, I think they would say, in the interest of fairness, they would say that Prescott has had an axe to grind against them for a long time, and so this memo probably contains allegations with which they would differ. But in this particular instance, I would say you're right, that there is a problem there in terms of the editorial process, why somebody didn't look at this and say this is ultimately misleading. As we were talking about, there have been other allegations about bias. This is only one piece of it. One has to do with the way the BBC has been covering the war in Gaza. Another one has to do with the way they cover transgender individuals. And there's even a claim that they did not cut away from a concert, a big rock concert that takes place every year in Glastonbury, England, where one performer was making comments about, you know, using phrases like from the river to the sea and get rid of IDF. And they were accused of bias, thereby not cutting away from it, which, you know, may remind you of some of the issues that have come up in the past with the Federal Communications Commission and news organizations covering live things where something goes awry. You know, somebody uses an obscenity or something like that, mm-hmm. and they don't address that. So when you put all these pieces together, there's obviously some issues here in terms of what's going on at the BBC. I think it's worth noting that it's got a very complicated governing structure, and it's correct that Davy is or was the director general, mm-hmm. which means that he's basically the chairman of the board that has oversight for BBC content, and the other person who resigned, Deborah Furness, is mm-hmm. basically the equivalent of a managing editor at a news organization.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people will trust the BBC less? You mentioned three other investigations or problems that they've had with bias coverage. Do you think people will still trust the BBC, or will this damage them?
I think that's a really interesting question, because, again, there have been for many years people who have claimed that the BBC was biased. And this is not new in and of itself. It's a criticism that has existed for a long time. It's mm-hmm. ironic, because I think so many people in this country say, you know, I turn to the BBC for unbiased news, and here in their right. own backyard they're being mm-hmm. accused of being biased. The problem is that part of BBC's charter, part of its mandate, which makes it different really from any other news organization, certainly in the United States, is that they have to be non-biased. They have to be neutral. I mean, they can have people come on opinion shows and talk, but in terms of their news content, it's part of their mandate that they must be unbiased. So I think this is going to be fodder for those who are saying the BBC should no longer exist. We shouldn't allow it to continue to exist, because it exists, as I said, primarily based on these license fees, but also through its commercial side that markets its programming around the world, including here in the United States. That's a big revenue stream for them, but the really bread and butter one that is certain is these license fees. And, you know, they're supposed to, and maybe it already happened, I'm not sure with the time difference, they're supposed to go before a parliamentary committee that has oversight of the media today to apologize for this. I think it's the CEO of BBC News that is going in to do that. And exactly how this is going to play out, I mean, we've already seen that the different political parties have very different takes on what transpired here and what the future of the BBC will be.
You know, I guess it for me, it goes back to in 1995. Remember the Martin Bashir interview with Princess Diana?
Yes.
That was, of course you do. I know you do. I'm just reminding our listeners.
And you could I mean, you know, there have certainly been hard-hitting interviews with a lot of public figures, you know, the one with Prince Andrew a few years ago, which I think was ITV. But the point is, this is stock and trade for British journalism. That's what they do. And there are those who say that they're much more effective at holding people's feet to the fire than some of our broadcasters are here with their counterparts. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that when they engage in this kind of journalism and commentary, it's going to upset people. And there's, you know, it's in my view, it's fine to upset people. Nobody has a monopoly on a point of view that they should be prepared to be challenged. But the problem is when something like this happens, where you can clearly show that there is an edit here that created a false impression, mm-hmm. that's not good, because that's something that crosses, you know, viewpoint lines and really comes down to what you talked about at the beginning, which is journalism ethics.
Journalism ethics. I mean, I have a list of things. There was a recent documentary that the BBC featured a boy whose father was a senior military leader in Hamas. And it was supposed to be this like super sympathetic, oh, you know, the poor people suffering. And the kid's father was a senior leader of Hamas, and they never told anybody that.
I mean,
and
the kid was actually the narrator for the whole thing. So, I mean, it wasn't like he just appeared for a minute. He was actually literally the voice of the thing. But, you know, it reminded me, Jordana, and I don't know if you remember this, but back during one of the Persian Gulf Wars, there was one of the people that testified before Congress turned out to be the daughter of a highly placed political official in whatever country was involved at the time. I'm not saying that it's okay in either instance. I'm just saying these kinds of things sadly do happen. And, you know, it may be that he could have been the best choice, but the clear obligation on the part of the BBC was to identify who he was.
I guess all of these, that's the thing, all of these epic failures of the BBC, and they're so obvious, even to a very mediocre journalist like myself, just obvious stuff, like you gotta tell the truth. You can't do an hour-long edit to resplice audio. They're just basic tenets of journalism that I learned at Syracuse, you know, back in 1993. It just seems they're really, the BBC and other media outlets, by the way, are really being exposed for the truthiness or the lack of truthiness. And that's why I always ask you to come on, because I think as I guess still a card carrying member of the media, just a talk show host, but I feel like we need to call this out and we need to tell people that they're not the beacon of morality or the beacon of objectivity that you may have thought they were or that they're supposed to be. And we need to question their judgment. Does that seem fair?
Well, I think it's always good to question. I absolutely agree with that. But in a way, you know, this reminds me of the whole Trump suit against CBS over the editing of the Kamala Harris interview. It's the same issue. Maybe the egregious nature of it differs, but it has to do with somebody saying your editorial judgment here is questionable. We think it's wrong. We think the way you presented this misled people. Well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't disagree with the principle that you should never edit in a way that misleads, but the question is always going to be, did it really mislead? Did it really cause people to think differently about Kamala Harris than if they had aired the entire interview? And you have heard that Trump is already threatening to sue the BBC. This just happened within the last half hour.
And
the libel laws in Britain are much more favorable than they are here. So if I were the BBC, I would be very anxious about that, because I am sure, just having read the pleadings he submitted in other cases, he's going to cite the CBS settlement over the 60 minutes and say, you know, at least CBS had the, you know, wisdom to do that. Now you should do the same thing. I just hate to give them additional fodder, and that's why
it
seems to me that editing a Trump interview is always going to be potentially fraught. I wish they had used much more care in this instance.
Yeah. Jane Kirtley, always great to talk with you. Thank you for helping me unravel these complex issues and hold media accountable. I so appreciate you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. It is 9:52. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.